God bless you. There's a word tonight, and I'm just talking because, amen, you know, good Baptist preachers don't preach after 9 o'clock, so I got about 18 minutes, amen. I'm going to take about 10 of them and let you go, amen. From the book of Luke that was read in our hearing, from the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, according chapter 9, and we're looking at that verse, that 51st verse, just one verse. You may keep your seats where you are. We already read it. Pastor read it. It says, and it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. I want to talk for a moment in this Lent season on the subject, on the way to Jerusalem. Would you touch your neighbor and tell him we're on our way to Jerusalem? My brothers and sisters, Jerusalem defined definition changes based upon the language. In the Arabic, Jerusalem means the holy place. In the Hebrew, Jerusalem means the place of peace. How ironic it is that the place that's called peace, constant war takes place. They now, as Pastor was talking about overseas and all over, Jerusalem was has been inhabited by Jews, Christians, and Muslims. According to the Holy Bible, Jerusalem belongs to the Jews, but the Muslims are trying to lay claims on this place called they called the holy place. How ironic it is, because you trace their tradition back and their history, and you discover that they're really half brothers who ain't never going to get along. All of y'all that's waiting for the Muslims to act right, they ain't never going to act right. According to the Bible declares they were wild and going to be wild and be contentious all of their all of their history. That's why there's always a conflict. The Muslims never want peace. They only want to wipe you out. So here we have this place called Jerusalem, which is supposed to be called the holy place in Arabic and the place of peace, and yet we find constant conflict even before our time, back in Jesus' time. The problem was that Jesus had been threatened and had been declared that he should not go back through Jerusalem because he stood to lose his life. And yet the Bible says that at a point in his ministry, when he knew it was time to go, the Bible said that he set his face toward Jerusalem. My brothers and sisters, when it says that he set his face toward Jerusalem, three things come to mind. First of all, it implies that Jesus had focus. Let the church say focus. Our biggest problem in church and out of church is learning how to focus. Not just on anything, but the right thing. We get so caught up in all of the things, program, our traditions, our habits, our events, our activities, and sometimes we miss the main thing because we fail to focus. Jesus, remember, who healed the sick, who raised the dead, who opened up blind eyes, who worked miracles, walked on water like it was a sidewalk. Jesus, who done so many things in his life, but the book said, according to this text, he had a focus. Although he did those things along the way, he did not come. Here's the problem. The problem is that when you got all power, it's hard to pass somebody that's sick. When you got all power, it's hard to pass somebody that's downtrodden, that's going through without doing something about it. And so that's what his problem was. He just couldn't stand. You remember that woman lost her boy. The preacher just got finished pronouncing the funeral and finished the closing prayer, and they was marching on the way to the graveside. And you remember, on the way to the graveside, the grave was opening, listening, luring for the footsteps of the funeral entourage. And Jesus stopped it and bent over to the little boy and whispered in his ear and said, "This is the resurrection talking." Said, "You can get up now." And turned her family, turned her their funeral into a family reunion. You know, he just had that problem, you know. Lepers walking past him all messed up, wasn't supposed to come by nobody, and they kept calling him, and he just couldn't take it no more. Turn around and say, go show yourself. And before already and not yet, by the time they got to show themselves, they had turned clean because Jesus just had a problem. He just had a problem of letting people just, you know, just letting them get past. You're not tired yet, are you? No. Yeah, why just letting people go past? And so Jesus had focus, but not only did he have focus, he focused on the main thing. And remember, his main thing was to seek and to save that which was lost. So how horrible it would have been for him to heal the sick, raise the dead, open blind eyes, walk on water, and we all still go to hell. The goal was to reach the lost. The goal was to get those that were spiritually sick back in a place with God. And so here he is. He had focus. Church, say focus. But it's not all he had. Jesus also, when it said he set his face toward Jerusalem, he had faith. Here is what it was. His faith was that he believed, watch, he believed that if he did what God wanted him to do, that God was going to look out for him. Is there anybody here? I got to tell you, I never will forget. I remember when I was younger. I've been preaching over 50-some years now, and in my life, there have been moments where I've had trials and struggles and storms rose, and I never will forget one of the storms that rose in my life between my family, and I was in school crying my eyes out because I couldn't believe that people would do you like they did you. And yet, while I was crying, I heard a voice, just like I'm talking to you, said, if you take care of my business, he said, I'll take care of you. And I stopped by to tell you, I used to be young, but I'm getting a little older, and I never seen the righteous forsaken, no seed baking bread. I stopped by to tell you that God will do what he said he will do. So Jesus had faith. He had focus, but he also had faith. He believed that if he did this, that God, his Father, was going to come through for him. But not only did he have focus, not only did he have faith, but notice Jesus had a fatal attraction. What's wrong with you? Knowing that if you go this direction, you're going to die. What attracts, what causes a person to be attracted to something that's going to bring about their ultimate demise? I stopped by to hopefully I'll give you a little glimpse of why he had a fatal attraction. You understand? He knew before he went there, if he goes to Jerusalem, they're going to kill him. Now, I mean, can I tell y'all, some of us have tried some stuff. You knew what's going on. Y'all don't like my mess yet. Hung out with some wrong people that you knew was going to do you in. Yeah. Some of us got bit, burnt, knocked out. Y'all don't like my message because we, and just kept going back, just kept going back. Jesus had a fatal attraction. And watch, I tried to understand it, Pastor. I tried to understand what makes him have a fatal attraction toward his ultimate demise. And here's what I saw. He understood that what he was getting ready to do was going to please God. Watch this. Even though it was going to be painful, even though it was going to be a problem, but yet, can I show you? Watch. The scripture says he was smitten and stricken of men, yet it pleased the Lord. He was wounded for our transgression and bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we were already healed. But yet God, now I was trying to understand that. So come on, I'm trying to understand. Why would God get pleasure out of my pain? Why would God get pleasure out of me suffering and going through? Here's what I found. I had two answers. Here's what I found. God got pleasure, watch this, out of Jesus going through what he's going through. Watch, because he didn't get pleasure, watch, out of the pain, because the pain and the suffering was called the process. Church, say process. Why?
God, watch this. God was looking at the other side of what he was going to get if he went through the process. I need to tell somebody, because some of you sitting here, you're going through something and it doesn't feel so good. But I stopped by to tell you, if you hang on in there, you got to stop looking at what you're going through and think about what's on the other side. You understand? And so here he is. So God didn't get pleasure out of his so much pain. It was the process. And the reason why he had to go through this process is because sin had to be paid for. Can I give you an illustration? Watch, in the old days, they took a lamb, you know, and you brought your lamb, and the priest gave you the knife, and then the priest held the basin, and then you stood there, and you had to slit the throat of the lamb, and you had to stand there and hold the lamb down while the blood ran down into the basin. The priest held the basin, but you had to hold the lamb, and you stood there, and you had to stand there and hold the lamb while he was writhing and twisting and moving until every ounce of blood had dripped out of him and all of the life was gone. And the reason why you had to stand there and hold him so you would understand the wages of sin is death. Do I have witness up in here? And so here he is. God's getting pleasure. It's not out of the pain, but out of the process, because he knew it was going to work something out. And remember, Jesus was headed this way. It was all about peace. Oh, my brothers and sisters, don't leave here tonight till you understand there's two kinds of peace. There's the peace of God, and then there's the peace with God. And I stopped by to tell you that Jesus went through this process because he was trying to get us peace with God. Yeah, you understand? You can't have the peace of God until you make peace. Some of you sitting here, you don't get along with each other, not getting along with your family. You roll your eyes, suck your teeth, and say bad things to each other. Look at each other with daggers in your eyes and go to bed at night and won't think about it. But I stop by to tell you, when you lay down tonight, if you never make up with another person, make sure you make up with God. Don't you go to bed without making sure that you have peace with our God. Peace with God leads you to the peace of God. So he headed that way. He headed that way with focus, with faith, because he had a fatal attraction. Now, unless I hold you, I got two more minutes. Watch this. Jesus was in a pilgrimage and not a parade. There's a difference. Because a whole lot of folk come to church for the parade. You understand? Parade is when you want to be seen. But a pilgrim means you're headed somewhere with a purpose. And we got too many paraders up in the church. You just show up. Can I just show you? You come to the church late, want to leave early, and you keep trying to get down the middle aisle while the ushers keep trying to show you the side aisle. You want to make sure everybody see you. You ain't really worried about it yet. You just here for the parade. You just here. You know what everybody got on, what everybody looking like. You know who didn't wear what, who got on which, who's sitting where, who's doing what, who's out there. It's a parade. I stopped by to tell you, God is looking for somebody who's not stuck on being in the parade, but wants to be in a pilgrimage. Tell your neighbor, we're going somewhere. Give me a minute. I'm trying to get there. I'm going to try to get there. Watch. Jesus was not in a parade. He was on a pilgrimage. He had purpose. He was headed somewhere. Now watch, if you will. I got two more stops. Yeah, remember, on his way, he picked up the donkey. Can I tell you, we need some donkey mentality. So, isn't it amazing? Let me see if I can wake you up here. Isn't it amazing that we need asses to teach us lessons? Watch the donkey. Watch. Remember, he rode a donkey. Watch, if you will. Watch the donkey. Watch this. The donkey was available. Watch. Can I just tell you, the biggest problem we have in church is people don't have time. You ain't got time. You just said, we'll come into church and walk right over a piece of paper. Nine people, you all saw the paper, won't pick it up because you're not available. That's not your position. That's not your job. I stopped by to tell you, God needs somebody that's available. You so busy trying to be big baller, shot caller, Mac Daddy, trying to get your next Benz, your next house on the hill. You already got enough. How much more do you need? Somebody needs your $100. Y'all don't like my message. Yeah. Give up some of them pork chops, some of them meals. I stopped by to tell you the donkey was available. Tell your neighbor he was available. But then watch, Pastor D.E. King out of Chicago wrote a book years ago where I got it from called Christ's Use of Unusable. Now watch this. Not only was he available, but watch, he was also tameable. One of the problems in our church is that we got too many people out of control. Can't nobody tell you nothing. You know it all, and if you got something to say, you're going to open your mouth. You're going to make sure you get it out. And that's just you. I stopped by to tell you, you need to be tame. You need to be tame. He was available. He was tameable. But let me try to go home. Yes, you remember Jesus, and I hate to touch on it, but I need to, it's coming up. Remember, he got ready to ride into Jerusalem. And as he was riding, watch this, Pastor, as he was riding, it dawned on me, remember, there was a crowd that was crying and shouting his name in praise. And there was another group, some of the deacons of the First Baptist Church in Jerusalem said, make them people be quiet. Now, Jesus said, if these hold their peace. But now, when I tell you, Pastor, he was being nice when he made that statement, because if you check the record, people ain't never was able to hold their peace. When he first showed up wrapped in swaddling clothes, the angels themselves shot out from heaven and relocated in the midst of the air. And guess what? They started praising. Yeah, when he got ready to get baptized, the Holy Ghost showed up like a dove and descending on his shoulder. A voice of God spoke out of sky because they just wouldn't hush. And now there are critics here, just like they are in Mount Olive. They don't like you waving your hand. They don't like you opening your mouth. They don't want, as a matter of fact, you got to be careful. You might be sitting on some people in the row that they're sitting into. Don't let nobody keep you from praising the Lord. Can you look at the crowd? I took a closer look at the crowd, and in that crowd, I saw the blind man. The blind man said, y'all trying to tell me to be quiet. He said, I will not. He said, I was blind all my life and could never see. And he came by, spit on the ground, made a salve, and opened up my eyes. He said, I will not hush. You hush. Hosanna. He said, there was the woman with the issue of blood. She put her hand on her hip and let her backbone slip. She said, you telling me to hush? Said, I will not be quiet because I was bleeding for 12 years and nobody could do me no good. But then Jesus came along and healed my body. She said, I will not hush. She said, you hush. She said, Hosanna. And I stopped by on a Wednesday night to see if there's anybody in here that the Lord ever done something for you. If there's anybody in here that the Lord ever made a way, the Lord ever opened the door, get your hand off the back of your seat. Get off your blessed assurance and stand up out of your seat and tell God, hallelujah, he's worthy. Shout it. It's 9 o'clock.